So I spent some time on Reddit recently. It's been a minute.
I mean, but that's a place to spend some time.
I do occasionally. And I will say that when I'm on Reddit reading various anecdotal things, I do try to like fact check it on Google, because if I'm like curious about it, I want to be able to talk about it. But I'm like, I got to check this out. So something that
I... a fact thing, but I get a lot of good answers on Reddit. I'll say that.
I value anecdotal information. I just really do. So
give me your clinical results.
Something that there's a bunch of like threads or subreddits or whatever the fuck you call it on is, so I didn't know this, and I did not get COVID to my knowledge at any point during this past year. Okay,
great. Love that for you and me and all of us.
Thank you. Yes. But apparently there's a lingering symptom. You know how it like fucks with your sense of smell?
The COVID. Oh, wait, I've heard about this where like people, there was like a support group. I don't know if it started on Reddit.
About smelling poop?
Oh, no. I thought this was the people who thought they permanently lost their sense of smell is what you were going to talk about.
Well, that is a whole group of people. But there's all of these Reddits that are like, when does COVID poop smell go away? And for a lot, I didn't ever hear about this.
I have not heard about this. I'm so sorry. But and people, I'm like, really? I've got questions.
Okay. I feel like people were probably kind of embarrassed. And so there's a lot of talk about it online. Like, there were so many questions in forums. Like, does anyone else smell poop all the time with COVID? After COVID, like, it's been 6 months, I'm still smelling poop everywhere.
Wait, just like constantly smelling poop?
Or what like phantom poop smell. Like, you know, there's something that makes you smell burning toast in a phantom way. I'm gathering it's like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly had phantom aromas. Yeah.
What? And I know, it's just such an unpleasant world to be stuck in. It's like we've been, you know, in our masks with our own breath this whole time. But
I mean, that honestly, being in a mask with your own breath is dark sometimes. I've had some instances where I've been very frustrated with myself and my mouth juices. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel, especially in a time of not visiting the dentist, we've had a lot of mouth problems.
Oh, yeah,
revealed.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's probably worst breath of all time. Like, more sugar and carbs, likely less attention to the gums. Not a great time. Anyway, so I didn't get COVID and I haven't been smelling poop, but look around you. If anyone's got like a stank face on, it could be because in their personal world, it's a shit show, if you will.
Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This? The poop episode. God. It's not the poop episode, it's a fup date. Wow, I'm scarred by that. That is Jamie Ryan bringing you scarring information from Los Angeles.
And that is Austin Williams thinking she knew the whole story in Chicago.
I really thought you were going to talk about the support groups that started for people who, like, thought that their sense of smell would never come back, which did seem very troubling.
Well, you know, I have some relatives who should have joined that. You know, I've got several grandparents with no sense of smell after 50, so that is troubling.
Oh, that, yeah, I want to just, everyone burn their sage, and let's hope that that's not, like, you know, part of Jamie's genetic makeup.
I'll also lose taste, yeah, by association.
Ooh. So. Yeah, that's what these COVID homies were having a problem with. But we're not here to talk too much about COVID itself, thank God. We're trying to move on from it, and
we're all trying.
We really are. We'll see. I don't know if this is like a Delta whatever strain. We can't dwell there, guys. Okay. So what we are here to talk about is kind of re-entering the world post-COVID and maybe some things that are positive about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have been with us for the journey of the pandemic, you may recall many moons ago where we did a FUP date where we talked about Zoom fatigue, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, why are we feeling like tired and anxious and worried after all this fucking overuse of video conferencing, which like truly was wildly overused and abused? Not every call has to be on camera.
We could just not turn the camera on.
You don't always have to FaceTime us. You don't. That said, on that episode, on the Zoom fatigue episode, we did talk a little bit about how, you know, on these Zoom calls, we're experiencing, you know, delays, even if it's like just a few milliseconds in communication. It's not quite real time, even though maybe it seems almost like it is.
And you miss micro expressions.
100%. And our brains are subconsciously picking up on the fact that things aren't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that things are out of sync when we've been accustomed to them being in sync when it's face-to-face communication. Mm-hmm. So our brains try to look for ways to overcome that lack of, you know, synchrony.
A sort of
uncanny
vibe.
And that's why we got super tired. Yeah. Right. Anyway, we're not here to, we don't want to talk about Zoom anymore, but we do want to talk about the things in real life that you could be getting into. So perhaps you, like me, I don't know, spent even more time with your music collection during COVID. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of good brain endorphins and chemicals and all the things that we're getting from when we listen to music, right? Mm-hmm. We're getting more dopamine hits from this. There's been a bunch of studies that, you know, dopamine, sure, we get like increases with that from things like food and money, but also music.
Yes.
And, you know, in general, that's something people have like talked about a bunch. We all kind of know that like music makes us feel good. But one of the things I got into when I was thinking about this and like reentry stuff is, okay, I feel like personally, Jamie can testify to this as someone who's experienced it with me, just like euphoric.
I was going to say, your
presence
euphoria.
Of live music.
Absolutely, your euphoria, yes.
Yeah, and I don't feel that way necessarily. Sometimes you have the windows down in the right way and like you're really feeling yourself. Mm. But when you play like a recording of music, it's anybody who's loved a live concert, you know, experience has is super cognizant that the way that makes you feel is not the way listening to the album makes you feel.
Of course not, yes.
It's not the same. And so what is that all about? And I don't know, should we be looking forward to the surge in live music? Mm. So I thought this was kind of interesting. Actually, I found this really sweet study that was about actually like Parkinson's patients out in Colorado. And it was from 2018, so like pretty recent stuff. Mm-hmm. But they were talking about how they used music in this like movement class that they did for folks who had Parkinson's to, you know, help in a therapeutic way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, like, you know, music is, you know, something that can help folks and like feels good or whatever. But in this class, they weren't using like a laptop or a stereo kind of thing, but they were having a live band in this class, which I was like fucking rad.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we know about the dopamine from just listening to music and how that, you know, decreases anxiety, lowers blood pressure, you know, improves memory.
A myriad of wonderful things, yes.
Yeah, your ability to deal with pain. But changing how you hear music, they're saying that this actually can amplify some of the benefits. And I was like, go on. So studies have linked live music to increased energy levels for cancer patients, improved engagement in people with dementia, and lower stress levels for premature babies, which I was like, what?
Whoa.
In 2018, I know, I was like, excuse me. But the exact neurological, like, why in 2018 when this article was written is still being researched. But with Parkinson's patients, the answer is a little bit more, like, direct.
Is it dopamine
basically,
stuff?
So, no, it's in the brain, the areas responsible for hearing and moving are located right next to each other.
Oh.
And so the proximity creates this really close relationship between the two, which makes music an ideal therapy for people with Parkinson's specifically, because it's a nervous system disorder that affects movement, right?
Right.
And the folks in here talking about this, I know, I thought this was fucking sick, honestly, like dope. But the folks in this article who are like involved in this program were talking about how it comes down to rhythm and that a live musician can manipulate the different parts of music to like emphasize certain things or to like help go along with the person's
Christian music chills.
Movement better. Yeah. Christian music chills. Okay. But also you can like emphasize a strong beat and like that can activate motor areas with like, I don't know, that you maybe have kind of like a weakness in if you somebody's like giving you like a beat.
I feel like the urge to dance is very real.
Well, that's what I was going to say is like when I put on like an album, I don't feel the same like almost inability to like stop from moving my body that I do at a concert.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like live music, I'm like, I am moving.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the musicians can adapt to you know, these patients in this therapeutic way. But I also feel like, you know, when you see a good concert, a good musician is like, you know, reacting and moving with the crowd in mm-hmm. some ways.
It's a conversation. Yeah.
It's totally a conversation. So I found another study that then, not in the same Parkinson's lens, but just like live music mm-hmm. performances for anybody, there is some brainwave shit about synchronization, which made me think about how we're like not really synced up on Zoom, right? Because it's like everything's a little off, a little delayed, a little weird. Yeah. So if you are at a live performance, your enjoyment, you know, this is like you're going to have this peak, right? And part of this is that when individuals attend any kind of live concert or like live music, your brain waves synchronize. And this kind of bond, it's also what kind of like indicates or like reinforces that each individual is having a better time as part of a collective. Because we know that humans are like social creatures. Mm-hmm. And so there's this vibe that, too, like, you enjoy it more because you're, like, being synced up in with a way that I could only think about people's menstrual cycles syncing up. Just couldn't help
it. I'm picturing more of a Matrix-style hive that we're all plugging into, but sure.
I like that, too. Yes. But it was incredible because it's like they did some studies where they like looked at people who are listening to live music and recorded music and looked at how social bonding is affected and how their brainwave synchronicity is affected. And so they had a band that was asked to play 8 songs that were like half high groove and half like low groove. Mm-hmm. And groove basically, like, in the psychology world here.
Sure.
Essentially just means how much is that, like, not just, like, groove musically, but basically they're like, how much does this music, like, make people want to dance? Mm-hmm. You know, how much is this, like, dance music?
Yeah.
And so high groove shit, you know, toe tapping stuff, funkier things. Low groove stuff, more, like, easy listening, ballads. More, like, relaxed. Yeah, totally. And so they tried to keep as, you know, like close to the basic acoustics, like they tried to keep them all the same and not to vary the loudness levels or the tempo too much between songs, which I thought was interesting.
That is interesting.
But otherwise, the musicians were kind of free to interpret shit however they wanted.
Wait, brief interjection. If they're controlling those two things, that means that they're controlling the size and the length of like the waves that are hitting the people. So like it's roughly always like a similar as you can wave if you're like normalizing the audio that way. Okay, that's all.
That's fucking cool. No, this is why we have an audio engineer on the show as an expert casually. And that's why I'm the one presenting this information to you as not the expert. So they wanted to see what was going to create like the greater bond for the audience members, like, you know, music that was like, you know, higher tempo or whatever, or like this more easy listening. And they're interested in what, comparing what the presence of live performers would do to your musical experience. And so for the data, they use like a big screen to present a video of the band's performance to the participants. So you still have visuals, right? And they, you know, all the acoustics, whatever, they made sure to like also make sure that the sound was like identical to what was being perceived in the live performance. Yes. So they're really honing in on this. Honestly, like incredible work, guys.
It's extreme calculation.
Yeah. And then there was data collected in a third condition afterwards where participants experienced the recorded concert, but this time instead of having a packed audience, there were like 3 or 4 individuals sprinkled throughout kind of audience seating, and they couldn't really see or interact with each other. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're really going in on this stuff.
They are.
But it turns out, quote, it turns out, like, shocker, that in the live music condition, right, you get greater synchrony between the audience members than you do in the recorded condition or the condition where it's recorded and you don't have as much audience to interact with. And the synchronization is greatest in the in the presence of live performers. So not when they're watching the screen, even when like you're in a packed room and the sound is the same and stuff. And when the brain waves were synchronized in this live condition, they synchronized around the rate at which people tend to feel the beat, which is they call it the delta band. And that was the highest in the live condition. And basically, like, this all comes down to, boils down to, like, the greatest sense of enjoyment of music is when you're in the presence of live performers as well as when you're in the presence of live performers as part of a group.
So if you've been wondering if your COVID music experiences are as dull as they feel, the answer is yes.
100%. Like, live music is like, yes, you're fucking missing it, and it does scratch itches, like all these little components that you don't even, I don't know, that you might not even think of, or maybe you wouldn't break it down the same way as, you know, a fucking scientist. I don't know, who's to say.
Yeah.
But it just, it made me very excited because reading about that study of like, yeah, okay, being reminded of all the really fucking wonderful shit music does for us. And then also all of the ways that it like can sync you up and like does shit to your brainwaves, and that you're, you know, you have more pleasure in like social scenarios like that. I was like, it got me like really jazzed that there is like a bunch of stuff I haven't felt in a long time that I have the propensity to feel again. And I feel like I'll cry. Like, I feel you like will. I'll probably cry.
You will. You will. And I'm acting like I won't, but I think, like, I've cried at every concert we've been to together, and you have not, so that's weird.
I've cried at a lot of concerts, though.
Yeah. No, that's fair. And you will cry at the first one, and I probably will, too. But I'm really looking forward to it, and I don't even enjoy it as much as you.
Does that make you excited, like, hearing the science woo-woo juju behind that a little bit?
And it makes me understand, I think, more why my body feels how it does at concerts. Like, the electricity, I guess, is the only way I could really describe it. But we're just all in a little hive together, just loving the same thing and, like, being super just, like, everyone's vibe, you're right, is, like, ricocheting off of each other. I'm very into it.
No, it made me really happy. And it just, I don't know, just thinking about all these little nuances. I mean, I'm somebody who's leaned into like a better music setup at home during the pandemic to try and scratch some itches and like also make my home like more fun than it was when I wasn't spending all of my fucking time here. But it just, it's in some ways, it's actually really exciting to know that like, all of that is good. And like, I'm, you know, getting those dopamine hits and enjoying my life and like listening to music with people is good. But like sharing your favorite albums in the car with someone, it can be
That's
awesome,
really good too.
But it's not as good.
Oh, not the same.
As
no,
going
not
to
at
a
all.
Concert. And that's just, I don't know. I just feel like I have a lot to look forward to. Like it has me hyped.
And I will say also that there is plenty of music that I would enjoy in a live format. That I wouldn't
want to
listen to. Yeah.
Yes.
But I could like love it at a concert.
Dude, listen, I've been very content at some fucking jam band concerts in my heyday. And that's not something I, you know, would say I generally am leaning into in my home times.
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Although I do not enjoy jam band concerts. But we had different childhoods.
Yeah, that's fair. That's true. Yeah. That's true. Listen.
Well, is it a good time for me to point out something that I would like to talk about that is relevant in these concert settings? Something that we haven't touched on about the live music environment is the smell of other people. And
oh, God.
Not in a bad way, like, I honestly kind of miss, like, the smell of other people. Like, when like a man walks by you and just smells like vaguely like sweat, not terrible, but just like the smell of a stranger's sweat, like not a thing I ever thought that I would be like, I really miss that, but I kind of miss that. Do you find yourself at all or no missing that?
That's
kind of
interesting.
Like,
no, that's
like
interesting.
I miss bad smells too, because I just haven't
I really feel like we're harkening back to some of our stuff. Guys, there's an early episode, Body Hors D'oeuvres, where we talk about the way we react sometimes to the way people smell. And it's all sorts of stuff. But no, I actually don't think I've cognizantly, like, thought of this. But now that I'm thinking about this, I will say, a moment or two recently, like, a little bit more out in the world, you know, these days on the other side of vaccination and things. And I've had some moments where, like, I've caught, like, someone's, like, perfume or, like, cologne. And I've been like, oh, man, that person smells great. And I find that really, like, I like that experience. And it's been nice, too, to, like, hug your friends that you haven't been, like, doing that with.
Smell your
and
friends.
Then to be like, yeah, and, like, to smell your friend and be like, oh, you smell really good. Like, I hugged... I went out with a homie and I like gave him a hug when we met up, and I was like, oh, you smell really good. And he was like, thanks. And I was like, that scent is new. And he was like, it is. And mm-hmm. it was like fun to have like that experience of mm-hmm. knowing that like someone was wearing a different cologne than they usually do. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And also, Thomas, you should buy that scent that you were wearing.
You should. I wasn't there.
Went out for drinks. No, he should. It was really good.
But yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I had clocked that, but I'm recognizing the pleasure in it right now.
Yes. And like good smells as well, obviously. But I've noticed recently since, we're pre-recording this, but like just a few days ago in my life right now, mm-hmm. California lifted its mask mandate because it was later than a lot of other places. But, and being fully vaccinated, it's been amazing to like smell like flowers and trees, just like what outside smells like here. And I'm finding that like, because I lived in California like 5 years ago and then I didn't live here and I've lived here now just during COVID. So I've been wearing a mask the whole time. Now that mm-hmm. I don't have the mask on outside, I'm having like a lot of sense memories coming back from the last time I lived here that have not been triggered yet because like I just didn't smell the area. You've just
been smelling your own breath all day.
Yeah. Yeah. But like to like smell LA is like bringing back all of these memories because obviously like smell is really memory hooked. Yeah.
I like that. I did have a moment the other day when I was walking through Chicago and I was like, man, I was like, I forgot how rank some corners of this mm-hmm. city smell.
Oh yeah. I've smelled.
But there are also things urine. About it too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've certainly smelled some piss, but I also, yeah, No, that is nice, the way things smell. Wow.
It has been
nice. I kind of didn't realize. I almost wonder. Here's a thought. Mm-hmm. This is just a conundrum. But I know that, like, a lot of the last year may blur together for us a little bit because of just the monotony of it all at times. But I kind of wonder, and the trauma that we might be trying sure. to be like, I don't want to think about that mm-hmm. again. But I almost wonder, too, if some of the memories we have will be like less memorable because we maybe don't have scent associated with them.
Oh, wow. Not just like light trauma suppression, but like also
yeah,
because we're missing a piece. Well, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we downplay smell so much. And
so much
like because we rely so heavily on our eyes. And so like without further ado, let me get into like I also came prepared with some studies.
Oh.
So I just like in the context of like we are smelling people for the first time in like over a year. And I have been having some reentry anxiety and just like find that like my energy gets depleted like a lot faster. And I would hypothesize.
I certainly feel that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would hypothesize that for me, it's because I have more like data coming in than I have in a long time. And like smell is like a whole other sense that was like turned off. And so now my brain is like dealing with like more information to sort through and try to like make meaning out of than it was doing before. And I don't know for sure, but so I wanted to tell you about a Discovery Magazine article where they discuss a study. This is from Marta Zaraska. Zaraska. I just like to give credit. If you want to look it up, it's called "The Sense of Smell in Humans is More Powerful Than We Think."
Okay.
All right. She opens with, "Imagine walking into a meeting room. You shake hands with colleagues, then everyone sits down. Within seconds, they all start sniffing their palms, picking up clues about you from the chemical traces left over from the handshake. Sniffing palms after a handshake, usually within 30 seconds of the interaction, would likely help people learn about someone's health and genetic compatibility, according to a 2015 study by researchers in Israel. Sniffing can also offer information on people's emotional state, such as if they are happy, sad, or fearful. The smeller gleans these emotions subconsciously, of course." That's really wild to me. This is just...
I mean, that makes me feel like I'm like a dog. Like, they can smell exactly, into fear.
Exactly. Like, but another, like, call to, like, why Zoom is so tough. Like, we're not smelling, like, if someone in the room is nervous or not. So we're, like, making more assumptions. Mm-hmm. They go on to talk about smelling emotions, which is fascinating to me. And
yeah, we're probably missing all these little like social cues that we didn't know we were getting from our nose.
Wow. Absolutely. It's like we've been online dating for, you know what I mean? Like you can't smell the pheromones.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're all tossing it. Anyway, we're not. But smelling emotions. She tells us that another reason you might be able to identify a criminal or at least someone feeling agitated. She didn't need to say a criminal. It's okay.
She didn't need to say, cut that. Okay.
Another reason why you might be able to identify someone feeling agitated is that he or she may simply smell dangerous. In one experiment published in 2015 in the journal Chemical Senses, researchers obtained sweat from 16 men. Here comes our favorite shit.
See, I love it when they're like, I've collected sweat from these men, and then I made this woman smell it all. Women sacrificing themselves for science since the beginning of fucking time. Go on.
Truly. The men took a timed math test and were falsely told they had performed below average. Disgruntled, they then participated in a workout where sweat was collected.
That's fucking awesome.
What a terrible afternoon.
I also just want men to have the trauma of like, you've performed below average on these multiplication tables. Now you can get on this elliptical and take a light jog.
Yeah, I love that too. Disgruntled, they participated in the workout. Sweat was collected. As a control.
I love that we're assuming they're disgruntled too from the math test. That's awesome.
So that was the idea, was that like they would feel like they would have negative feelings about that. And then we're going to squeeze
low
their
self-esteem before they had to juices. Take a jog.
Yeah. Right, mm-hmm. right. Squeezing it out, testing it. So as a control, the men took a math test again under no time constraint and were told that they got an average score. Again, they followed up with a sweaty workout. Mm-hmm. Volunteers then sniffed the men's sweat samples, as we knew they would, while taking a test.
As we knew they would.
While taking a test that measures cognitive performance, when sniffing the sweat of the men who were told that they didn't do well on the test, so the disgruntled men.
Yeah.
The volunteers were distracted and slower to respond during their own test. So the volunteers who are sniffing, in case this is confusing, are like, I'm assuming have like a man's sweaty shirt wrapped around their face while they also take a math test.
It's some sort of cognitive test. And then they're being like, I'm having a harder time answering these questions because I smell disgruntledness.
Yes, exactly.
Honestly, this is one of my favorite experiments we've ever talked about, except for the one with the people in the MRIs and the out-of-body things, and they were taping, like, pictures of stuff on the ceiling. That one was fucking like, tight. If you guys don't know, look for out-of-body experiences in the back roll.
Mm-hmm. Near-death experiences, I think.
Whew. Yeah, yeah, yeah. NDE, excuse
yes,
me.
Thank you. So as a control, they also took another test and sniffed the sweat from the men's second workout where they were not disgruntled. And the volunteers.
And they performed better.
They scored in a manner indicating emotional neutrality. So their brain did not appear to be like distracted, slowed, or stressed out when sniffing.
Honestly, I love this experiment. This so is fucking hysterical. How do I get involved with these? How do I put out a Craigslist ad that I'm like, if you're, people think this was just a fetish, but I would be like, if you are a psychologist running experiments that involve me smelling the sweat of men on t-shirts, I would like to be called.
It feels like a whole category of research.
There's no way for me to explain to someone that I want to do that, like, in a clinical way that would make it sound not like a sexual proclivity or something, but...
Sure, yeah. And maybe there's a verbal game in our future.
Propensity. I'm just into it, you
That's know? All right. Yeah, maybe there's a verbal game in our future where one of the choices is that you always have to lead with that that's your greatest goal when you meet someone.
I would tell people that, honestly.
I think it's a fast way to sort out who's a compatible friend and who's not, because, you know, I wouldn't be deterred by that.
Listen, dear listeners, if you don't want to smell the t-shirts of sweaty experimental subjects, as you are an experimental subject, I don't want to know you. I don't want to be a part of this.
Mm-mm. No, it's not for you. Anyway, she goes on to tell us that a heavy pile of evidence suggests that emotions have a scent. What's more, such smelled emotions may be contagious. And this is the bit that really gets me. And what we're all going to have to deal with as we re-enter office settings, if that's something in someone's future. Basically, the people who are smelling the t-shirts are taking on the emotions that they're detecting in the sweat. And so if you are going back,
empathy.
If you're going back to school or work or something and you walk into a meeting and someone is just like so anxious and like upset, even if they're not showing it, you will be able to smell it. And you might feel a tightening in your own body. Just trying to remember that maybe it's someone else's sweat, I feel like.
Kind of makes me think, I mean, I know we're advocating against video calls, but it seems like that could be good for a job interview thing so that the interviewer didn't smell how nervous you were, if that were true. But yeah. You'd also then be missing some of the nuances of like things happening in real time. Your interview would feel a little off. That's a double-edged sword.
You would indeed. I think I'd prefer to smell someone and hope that I wouldn't write them off for anxiety.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I thought that this was fascinating just because like for the first time in a year, we're going to be presented with this subconscious emotional information that we've been without, but not really knowing that we were without. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is maybe how when other people get stressed, it's like it might be seem more overwhelming to us than it used to.
Mm-hmm. I do think we're going to have a harder time dealing with other people's feelings.
Yeah, I actually think that's right, which isn't good, but is honest. Again, it goes back to what we said. Everybody's got to be real patient with everybody.
Yeah, extremely patient. Everyone's trying. Well, not everyone is trying, but everyone's probably having a hard time. But
that's
not,
right.
Not to like, not, it's not all bad. It can be great to like pick up on like the vibe of the room. It can be really helpful, like to pay attention to like that subconscious stuff. And Austin, maybe you're really good at it. And maybe some of your like intuitive magical stuff is actually just a really keen awareness for emotional sense. Just a hot take.
Well, good thing I gave it all up on Tuesday in order to not wear a Chick-fil-A uniform.
Amazing.
Oh, well, if you guys missed the best of games, circle back on that. Man, I tell you, I don't know, this stuff is hopeful to me. It's like some of it seems complicated, some of it seems exciting. I think all of it though is like probably pretty fucking good for us.
And there's also evidence that we get dopamine hits from smelling other people like who are not like super stressed out, just like knowing that another person is around.
That's what I'm saying. I do like smelling folks.
I do too. I said that I miss it. I miss sweaty crowds of people. You know how like the audience smells? I miss it.
At a beer. Live concert where you're just smelling people's bodies and experiencing the brainwave synchronicity.
It's indoors. It's Chicago winter. People are sweaty.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're overdressed. Yeah, for the cold anyway.
That's true. That is all true. Wow. You guys, I hope that maybe this little update makes you feeling a little bit excited and maybe a little bit more cognizant of some of the changes or experiences that we're about to have that we haven't had in a minute.
Mm-hmm. It made me more aware. Me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm there. Well, listen, as always, you can find us on the internet via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com. On Twitter at WIYLTTweets and on Instagram at WhyYouLikeThisPod. And you guys, this is truly the wrap on season 6, but we're going to be seeing you for season 7.
Absolutely. Next Tuesday. I won't spoil what it's about, actually. I was going to, but I won't. Anyway, see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.